our success is guaranteed, or is it? The wisdom of action from all is one. Ellam ondre. It is a well-known maxim that in order to achieve our worldly ends and to attain our desired goals in life, our self-effort is indispensable. With adequate self-effort, also referred to as willpower, obstacles standing in the way of our realizing the fruit of our efforts can be overcome, and our success in obtaining our desired end is guaranteed. Yes, it is said that our success is guaranteed when we utilize the magical ingredient of adequate and intense willpower. But is it really so? Let us look at an example of willpower and the related success of our actions. In the office, imagine that you are regarded as a highly efficient worker. Your reports are submitted on time. Your attendance record is unblemished. And any request from higher management is acted upon in a timely manner. You and your colleague, whose work habits may not be as fastidious as yours, are both in line for a promotion, and you are looking forward to gaining the prestige that accompanies this. Cognizant of the fact that you have applied yourself assiduously to obtain this goal by working late, coming in early, working weekends, sacrificing personal and family time, etc., it is abundantly clear that there is only one logical candidate to choose for this coveted promotion, and that is you. Willpower personified. On the day of the promotion being announced to all, attired in your best suit and having prepared an acceptance speech, you sit ready. With fanfare, the winning candidate's name is presented. And surprisingly, it is not your moniker that resounds over loudspeaker, but that of your colleague. What? How can that be? I have applied myself intensely, but to no avail. You say to yourself, you and your colleague's intention to obtain a promotion was the same, but the outcome of your intention was not the same. Why is it that the outcome of your concentrated efforts was not as you desired? The reason is this. It is because the results, the fruits of your efforts, are not in your hands. They have been decided by a higher power, upper management. So also, say the sages, the fruits of your efforts are not in your hands. The dispenser of all results is the Lord Himself. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Karman evadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phala hetur bhurma te sangostva karmani. Thy right is to work only, but never to its fruits. Let not the fruits of action be thy motive, nor let thy attachment be to inaction. Sri Ramana Maharishi exemplified freedom from attachment to the results of action in his daily life. It may be recalled that he once spent hours cleaning and polishing a walking stick. And when a visitor stated that he had lost his stick, Bhagavan handed it graciously to him. Here is the story as told in talks. Mr. Rangachari, a Telugu Pandit in Urhis College at Vellore, asked about Nishkama Karma. There was no reply. After a time, Sri Bhagavan went up the hill and a few followed him, including the Pandit. There was a thorny stick lying on the way, which Sri Bhagavan picked up. He sat down and began leisurely to work at it. The thorns were cut off. The knots were made smooth. The whole stick was polished with a rough leaf. The whole operation took about 6 hours. Everyone was wondering at the fine appearance of the stick made of a spiky material. A shepherd boy put in his appearance on the way as the group moved off. He had lost his stick and was at a loss. Sri Bhagavan immediately gave the new one in his hand to the boy and passed on. The Pandit said that this was the matter-of-fact answer to his question. Talk 118. To show that all actions and the results are governed by a higher power, let us look at a text that Sri Bhagavan recommended to many devotees. All is one, Ellam Ondre. This text, in its entirety, was serialized in consecutive issues of Maharishi, beginning with September-October 1998 issue. The following is an excerpt from Chapter 5 of this small book entitled Action. All are doing their respective work. So, what has God to do with it? We will first consider the sentient beings and later on the insentient objects. We are sentient beings. Let us first see whose actions are ours. We all desire a higher state and work for it. But our achievements are not uniform. Sometimes the goal is the same, and so is the work. But why is there a difference in the results? Here, God makes us understand that the action is His. Otherwise, all must be alike. The difference in the conditions cannot be accounted for. Can there be anyone who does not wish to improve his position? Whatever their intention towards others, their intention towards themselves is surely honest. The conditions of people of the same intention are yet different. This is because all actions are of God. If it is said that notwithstanding the same intention, the effort can vary according to individual capacity, the question arises, what is the source of this capacity? It is of the body and mind. The environment may also affect it. One must take account of all the factors before one makes an effort. However, these factors are not under one's control, so that the effort may not be equal to the task. Therefore, all actions are God's. Again, if it is said that the body, the mind, and the environment will gradually be made equal to the task, it implies a present incapacity. This is to admit that all actions are God's. Now, it is for good or bad that people do not gain their objectives. It is certainly good. Why? Most of them are selfish. Judge for yourself if their success is for the good of the world or otherwise. You may ask, should not the attempts of the unselfish be entirely successful? Though, to all appearances, they may look unselfish, yet they are not free from blemishes. These depend on the ego. If the imagined unselfishness has given rise to a sense of superiority over others, God frustrates their purpose and teaches them that you are also like others and I govern you. On the other hand, free from selfishness and free from ego is the representative of God, within whom the cloud of ego that conceals God does not exist and from whom God is never shining forth. To such a one of true purpose, Sattva Sankalpa, all his intentions come out true. God shines forth directly in him. There is no darkness in him. Only he knows the divine purpose as it is. Through him, God fulfills the purpose of his creation. All actions are God's. Whatever takes place, it is in the natural order of things. Also, it is right. Everything happens by his will alone. In truth, it is not wrong to think he makes the thief steal. Why? Because at the time of punishment, he also makes the thief suffer for the robbery. Thus, there should be no ill will directed towards the thief. Such is the fruit of the knowledge that all actions are God's. Although there is no ill will towards the thief, there is a dislike of theft. This is also the result of our knowledge that all actions are God's. How is this? Because the thief himself dislikes theft. Would he keep quiet if his own belongings were stolen by another? He would not. Who can be unaware that good is right and evil is wrong? Therefore, the knowledge that all actions are God's will bring into the world an era of orderly conduct. Our knowledge does not extend further. We can repeat only what we know. We need not worry about what lies beyond our knowledge. This too is God's will. One of the fruits of knowledge granted to us by God is the knowledge that all actions are God's. We are powerless to ask God, why do you act thus? Because the fruits of our actions are not always according to our desire. All religions admit similar states of our powerlessness. In other words, because our powers are limited, we cannot but say that all actions are God's. The law that applies to us applies to insentient objects also. Our law is no better than theirs. All is one. Even though some do not admit that all actions are God's, yet they admit their own incapacity. This itself is the act of God. This small text highlights in a simple and direct manner that the fruits of our actions are independent of us and are decided on and distributed by the Lord himself. Let us see what Sri Bhagavan tells us of that sometimes elusive willpower. Will we be ensured of success when we have sufficient willpower? Our plight may be similar to the devotee who asked Sri Bhagavan about this subject. A young man asked, I try to cultivate willpower but do not succeed. How should I do it? Maharishi, no answer. Devotee, I came here 3 years ago and Sri Bhagavan said that willpower is necessary for strength of mind. Since then, I have been desiring to cultivate it, but without success. Maharishi, no answer. Devotee, during these years, I have had 4 or 5 reverses. They upset me considerably. There is always the fear of failure haunting my attempts. This results in want of faith in myself, which certainly foredooms my efforts to failure. Nothing, in fact, succeeds like success, and also nothing foils one's attempts like failure. Hence my question. Maharishi, no answer. Devotee, is not willpower necessary for success? It should ensure success and also rule out failure. Maharishi, no answer. Devotee, I try to gain willpower. After these years, I find myself only where I began. There is no progress. Maharishi, no answer. Devotee, what are the means for gaining willpower? Maharishi, your idea of willpower is success ensured. Willpower should be understood to be the strength of mind that makes it capable for meeting success or failure with equanimity. It is not synonymous with certain success. Why should one's attempts be always attended with success? Success develops arrogance, and the man's spiritual progress is thus arrested. Failure, on the other hand, is beneficial, inasmuch as it opens the eyes of the man to his limitations and prepares him to surrender himself. Self-surrender is synonymous with eternal happiness. Therefore, one should try to gain the equipoise of mind under all circumstances, that is willpower. Again, success and failure are the results of prarabdha and not of willpower. A man may be doing only good and noble actions and yet prove to be a failure. Another may do otherwise and yet be uniformly successful. This does not mean that willpower is present in the one and not in the other. Talk 4.2.3. We see that Bhagavan emphasizes that willpower is actually equipoise of mind under all circumstances, that is, even-mindedness in success as well as in failure. That is what we are required to cultivate. And failure is even beneficial for us in that it prepares us for self-surrender. Who can gauge the glories of self-surrender? Sri Murugunar says in verse 477 of Guru Vachaka Kovai, the garland of the Guru's sayings, to those who wholly dedicate their being to the Lord, to them the Lord gives here and now himself. Only those who are egoless and thus are aware that they are that rejoice in the supernal bliss of pure Shiva experience. It is clear that despite our concerted efforts, our success in undertakings is not always guaranteed. That is to be accepted by us also, for the reasons given above in all is one. And by the gracious words of Sri Bhagavan, we see clearly that equipoise in both success and failure is true willpower. This will lead us unfailingly to that great act of self-surrender where all our concerns become His. May He ever guide us all. Editor.